For our top agent interview, I'm so excited to have Mike Livesay with us today. Mike was a State Farm agent in Virginia for 4 years. Then he became a sales leader for 3.5 years. And now he's in Piedmont, South Carolina, where he's been a State Farm agent for the past 2 years. This year is the third time his agency has qualified for Chairman Circle. And he's really known for his ability to develop aspirants as well as for life sales. So, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, Mike, give us a little bit of background on you, just so we can get a snapshot of your agency. Just sort of introduce us to your agency.
So, we are in Piedmont, South Carolina, which is the Greenville area, kind of the northern, northwestern part, I guess, of South Carolina. We're kind of on the outskirts of a good metropolitan area, and out in the country. So we're kind of right there in the middle of all that. So, I took over for an agent, that went into leadership. And so it kind of stepped in, I hired his team, hired some more people to join our team. And, we're very passionate about, protecting income and assets and making sure that we are trying to be different than everybody else in terms of, we're not just trying to sell a policy, but we're trying to help and protect our customers, and I think they appreciate that.
Oh, very good. So, I was really intrigued about your aspirant program. I know that's something that's been so powerful for other agents. Talk to us a little bit about your aspirant program. How do you recruit the aspirants and train them, and just kind of give us a little glimpse into that?
Yeah. After my first year, I was sitting down with one of my team members that I hired first on when we opened, and there was something different about him. And when I started talking to him, asking him a bunch of questions, it came out in that conversation that he wanted to be a State Farm agent. And I very quickly realized that I needed to hire more people like him and people that were passionate and they had bigger goals than just my agency. And so we revamped what our strategy was, what our goals were. And from that moment, I started just hiring people that had desires and were passionate about becoming business owners and being State Farm agents. So I've always done that. When I went to Indiana as a sales leader, I trained my agents there to have a good aspirant program and develop that just because they're just different, and they work harder, they work differently, and they have a long-term goal as opposed to just coming to work every day. And same thing when I came to South Carolina, I'm always pursuing and always trying to find that person that has a great desire to help people and somebody that has a long-term goal to being bigger than where they might even believe that they can go. And working with them and training them and developing them and working with them, helping them to understand the great opportunity that's there to one day be an agent is something that I enjoy and something that motivates me and something that I think is a great, great program for our agency.
That's great. How many aspirants have you now recruited and developed?
So we have from the time that I opened in Virginia, we've had 5 aspirants that have worked for me that are now State Farm agents.
Wow.
Several in Virginia, one in Indiana, one in Texas. And we have Cole now, and we have another that's pretty close and maybe one depending on certain circumstances. So we might, by the end of the year, might have another 2 for sure, but maybe more.
That's great. So tell us, where do you find the aspirants and how do you recruit them?
So really, I try to use the references that I have, different, good customers. I use people in the community that are in different roles, whether they are advisors or, different clubs and those sorts of things, and talk to them and let them know kind of what I'm looking for, and let them know that we're always trying to find really strong, great people to come and work for us, and try to get some referrals from some of those people that may not may not be looking for employees of themselves, but have multiple eyes that are out there. Also, as my family and I are going around and going out to restaurants or going out to dinner or meet with different people that we know, if we see somebody that we really like and somebody that's impressive, then I'll give them a business card and tell them to give me a call and talk to them at that point as well.
Very good. And so let's suppose you identify a candidate, either a reference or whatever it may be. You found somebody you think has potential. What would you say to them to start the process?
You know, when I invite them to have a phone call, I talk to them about our agency. I talk to them about what makes us different. But then I just share with them the blessing that agency has been for me and ask them if they've ever considered being a business owner and what it would entail. And then I just express to them, you know, it's one thing to work for somebody, but it's another thing to work for yourself, and the opportunity that you have to help other people reach their goals and dreams is something that is greater than anything else that I've been able to do. And so I just kind of show them what it, and ask them questions. What does it look like in 1 to 2 years for you where you're currently at right now? What does it look like 10 years from now? And then talk about what their goals are for each of those and where they want to be and where they hope to be, and kind of help them to connect the dots about this opportunity.
Oh, I love it. Now, let's suppose you've got the aspirant, you've got on board. What type of training? How do you train them? How do you develop an aspirant?
So, you know, for us, and Cole's sitting right in here learning this as well. So initially, after the modules and all those things, I want him to sit down or have our aspirants sit down with our service team. And I want them to kind of learn and understand and appreciate the hard work that they do. And then also I want them to learn everything that the service team is doing, because ultimately I don't want them to do it after they are selling full time. I have them work on a hot list so that they can practice quoting with people that love them, family members, friends, so that they can get acquainted with the technology there. But then as quickly as possible, I want to get them into the risk advisor training so that they can learn and become comfortable with your world, understanding the 14 keywords and understanding the risks that are out there, the 7 risks that are out there, and just helping them to quickly start to understand that so that they can learn that we're not just trying to sell a policy. We're literally doing everything that we can to show and protect their world and help them to see how we're different in doing that.
Very good. Any advice? Let's suppose you bumped into an agent that would like to get an aspirant recruiting training program. They'd like to really take advantage of the power of an aspirant within their agency. Any advice you'd give them if they wanted to get that started?
I think the advice that I would give them is always try to have more than one, just because they feed off each other, they compete with each other, those sorts of things. But also realize that it's not just something that you can just plug them in and expect for them to learn and know what they're doing right away. So they have to be committed in spending time with that aspirant, being willing to answer questions multiple times. Be patient, because this person's never done insurance before. But then also make sure that they see the bigger picture and they see where they're going, and not necessarily get too boggled down by, you know, the one customer that yells at them or the one bad day that they might have. So help them to, you know, hold them accountable, but let them see why they're going through what they're going through, and helping them to see the bigger picture.
Very good. Well, listen, Mike, thanks so much for sharing that about your aspirant program. I know other agents are going to find that very helpful. Let me now shift gears. Your other area you're really known for is life sales. Talk to us a little bit about life sales. What kind of life production are you guys doing, and then how do you do it?
So this year we'll max out our scorecard financial services. We I think by the end of it, we'll probably have well over 100 issued life apps. We've sold some really good premiums. One of the things that I'm most proud of my team about is when I first got here and I hired the team of the previous agent, I asked them, you know, what's some of the bigger life premiums that you've sold? And you know, they weren't bad, but they weren't huge either. So maybe $100, $150 a month was the highest premium. And so what I committed to them is that I would show them and help them to feel comfortable and confident to have bigger conversations, to sell bigger policies, to be able to stop focusing so much on the death benefit and start focusing on the living benefit, and having a better understanding about that. And so when we went into that and we role played like crazy, and one thing I love about the Your World is it helps us to understand their world. It helps us to understand where they're putting their money, what their goals are, what they're putting into retirement. All those factors that go into there to help us to better understand that customer. And when we understand where that money is, then it helps us to be able to better position the best protection for them. And when we don't have to help the customer find more money to buy what we're trying to offer, and it's just a replacement of something that might be out there that we're just kind of moving from one pocket to the other, it allows them to be able to see that what we're sharing with them and what we're showing them is within reason. And so that's really helped us quite a bit as well.
Very good. So give us a little bit of the from too. If the kind of premiums they were used to before, sort of a bigger one, was $150 a month, what have they been able to achieve now?
So, you know, impressively, they've, you know, my team member who, he was with the previous agent for a year and he's been with me, for 2 years. When I first got here, he was around $100, $125 was his high point, his max. And since then he sold, I think his biggest one is $566 a month. Mm. He sold several, couple hundred dollar a month. He's working on one now that's over $350 a month. And then my other team member, who I hired from the previous agent, she was around $150 a month. And I mean, consistently she's finding, she had one last month for $347. She has another one that she did for $477. Mm. And, so bigger premiums, but not just selling the policy, but helping them to understand what that policy can and will do for them in the future has been great.
That's beautiful. So it sounds like they've been able to double and in some cases triple the premium that they were able to sell. That's, you know, congratulations. One of the things you talked about is, you know, helped them move from just a death benefit to a living benefit. Walk me through what do you say there, and how do you coach your aspirants on how to have that conversation?
Well, I think first it comes with some education about what life insurance can do. It benefits them with taxes. It benefits them with, you know, potentially funds for retirement down the road. It creates opportunities for them to use this down the road to make purchases and those sorts of things. And so helping them to see, you know, on the short term, that term policy, it is cheaper, but over the long term, it's going to become more and more expensive, and helping them to see that the living benefit comes through building that cash value and building those the value within that policy. And we've been lucky enough to be able to have customers that have come in who had some really nice value in that policy and see what they're able to do with it, and help them in very instrumental times in their life, whether it be for something medical or something for a friend or something during a financial struggle. And so we use those opportunities and use those experiences of people that we know and customers that we've worked with as we're explaining it to in our trainings, but also as we're using it for our future, for our customers that we're explaining it to as well, that we're trying to help them to to purchase these policies. And so helping the team through education, but also using those experiences and using that story selling to help them to see that this can be a benefit to their life, not just for the death benefit, but for the living benefit.
Very good. I love it. And I love the way you transition from merely talking about the death benefit to the living benefit. You also mentioned your world. Give us a little glimpse into how you guys use the Your World conversation. And I guess I'm saying, do you do face-to-face meetings or are you using the virtual Your World? And just kind of give us a little glimpse into that.
Well, pre-COVID, we were using it primarily face-to-face, and I think that's where we got our best meetings with our customers. During COVID, we've had to really, be creative, use some technology that State Farm's provided to have those meetings, sometimes in the customer's home, but a lot of times over technology that helps us to be able to show our screen, draw it up, and be able to do it that way. And so we try to do it as often as we can. If we can't get in front of the customer, we're learning to use technology better. But we're still so much better when we're able to do it in person. So
got it.
That's always our goal, is to be in person.
Got it. So you guys, I think they call it Good Neighbor Connect. You guys use
Correct.
Good Neighbor Connect, and then use our little PowerPoint template to actually draw the diagram.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
That is great. It's interesting. We've had a lot of agents that have started using our virtual Your World template, and they've said, Bill, I like this even better than a face-to-face meeting because the meetings are easier to set and the diagram looks more professional. And they start even using the PowerPoint template when they're having a face-to-face meeting. Do you envision that, or do you think you guys will still draw it out on a marker board or a piece of paper?
I think that could be very useful, just because it will kind of, it takes a while and it takes a while to memorize it, and it takes a while to be able to get it down. But once they have it, it's so much easier. But, still, we sometimes mess up and we forget one of the risks. We forget to talk about something. So having it on the virtual or on PowerPoint, I think that will keep us on task and be able to make sure we hit everything that we're supposed to.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Well, I got to tell you, Mike, this has been so helpful. I have just a couple of last quick little questions, and that is two questions. I guess my first one would be, if there was another agent that wanted to max out their scorecard with financial services, they wanted to sell more life insurance, is there any advice you would give that agent?
Have more meetings would be the first advice that I would tell them. And then the second thing I would probably tell them is stop trying to sell it. I think, one thing that I've shared with my new aspirant is, when you stop trying to sell something, customers know when you're being sold to. When you stop trying to sell, you become more, it becomes more of a, you're going to build quicker with that customer trust, and there's more passion behind it, and there's more intention. And with the customer, they sense the sincerity in your voice when you're just really honestly trying to protect them and protect their family. And so if we can be, less salesy and less focused on making the sale and less focused on trying to sell life insurance, then it becomes more sincere and it becomes about the customer. And through that, we're able to see a whole lot better result from what we're trying to achieve.
That's great. And I know Steve Wilmer always says, stop selling life insurance and start solving, helping people solve some of these problems. Yep. And so it sounds like that's what you're just sincerely trying to help people, pay off their mortgage if something happens, or fund a college education, or create an income. You're trying to just help them solve some of their problems.
Absolutely. We are risk advisors. We're solving the risks that are out there for them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Mike, this has been great. Is there any, my last question, is there anything that I did not ask you that you'd like to share with our self-study group?
Well, I think the only last thing that I would share is, you know, the health insurance, the disability insurance. Sometimes we can get so focused on selling life that we forget to sell the other products that are out there. And if we truly are in our minds and in our hearts risk advisors, then we're not just going to pigeonhole just one conversation to sell something, but we're going to really try to protect their world. And so the disability, the life insurance, the long-term cares, all those other things that are out there, we want to make sure that we're protecting. And that's why I love the Your World, is it puts all those in to the conversation, and then it leaves it up to the customer to talk about, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to take care of right now? And then that sets up future appointments for those other things.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mike, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this interview. I know everybody in our self-study program is going to just really benefit from this. So thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Hey, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yep. Take care.